Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Last week, Jazz did a great job preaching the word, a long walk. That was his sermon. Let's take a long walk. I thought we were ready for that. We thought we were ready for that one. We were singing at our house last week on Sunday, and we had a great time. We had some of the college students join us. So we were in the living room watching service. We had a great discussion afterwards. I told Jazz, I said, man, I think we need a part two. Because that, he's right on cue, you know. And we dressed alike today just to make the point that we are in this together. But this story, The Road to Emmaus, really, it's, as he preached on it, I was reminded, like, this is really one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I mean, and there's so many lessons in it. And one sermon really couldn't do it justice. So I'm going to go ahead and do part two on that today. And we may just have part three next week, I think. So we're going to look at some lessons that that we can learn that Jazz just didn't have time to get into last week. But before we do that, I want to ask you, how are you feeling about the new year? How are you feeling about the new year? Yeah, three options. Energized. Disillusioned, or you know what, it's just business as usual. I don't really do the new year thing, you know what I'm saying? It's just another day. Woke up just like any other day, and we got to make it happen. So I know sometimes it can be tough. I know disillusionment, I've been there at the new year sometimes as well, where it's just like, you know what, what's really new about this? I'm still struggling, you know what I mean? I've been there, and I've also been energized. Man, I might have felt about all three of those already. It's been 8 days, and I might have felt all three of those. Maybe somebody can relate. Okay, we're feeling energized, business as usual, and some of us, man, just feeling disillusioned. Okay, thank you. I love the honesty. This is anonymous, so it's just an opportunity for us to kind of see even where we're at, right? So we can have some great conversations in the fellowship as well. You know, I recently came across a published study, what researchers call the fresh start effect. The fresh start effect. And according to the fresh start effect, people are more likely to take action towards a goal after temporal landmarks that represent new beginning. So this is scientific for all my scientists in the house. These temporal landmarks cause people to reflect on their lives in a big picture way, which in turn inspires them to set goals for better behavior. Examples of landmarks that trigger the fresh start effect include the start of a new week, new month, new year, the start of a new school semester, or even a birthday when you have some milestone birthdays, or any birthday. It's like, okay, this is a chance to start fresh. Other special occasions can apply. So whether you start a new job or move to a new city, even some different holidays that we may observe may help us, may help cause this effect. So fresh starts are often accompanied by some instance of failure or in some way where you felt like, man, my performance in this area was subpar. I didn't do what I wanted to do or how I wanted to act. I fell short of that. So as a type of psychological resetting, it's a strategy that can be helpful in bouncing back from a previous failure. Psychologists studying the fresh start effect show that it works because highlighting meaningful occasions creates a clean slate for people to make better decisions. Temporal landmarks that signify a new time period, a new fresh start, help us leave our missteps in the past and create an untarnished feeling for our present and for our future selves. This feeling opens the path for people to initiate goal-oriented, aspirational behaviors. The fresh start effect. It's a real thing. Research has proven it. And so the title of my message is, You're Free to Start Fresh. You're free to start fresh. We already did turn to you. We're going to do turn to your neighbor again. Tell your neighbor you're free to start fresh. Yeah, now go to the other side. Go to the other neighbor. You're free to start fresh. You're free to start fresh. Yes. I want everybody. I want y'all to give yourself the freedom to start fresh, to embrace new beginnings, to give yourself the permission to be excited, to give yourself a clean slate, to give yourself permission to forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. We're going to do one more. You got your phone out already, right? Open up your camera on your phone. Open up your camera. Open up your camera. We're going to do one more. Open up your camera. Open up your camera. Turn it to yourself like you're taking a selfie. And say your name. Angel, you're free to start fresh. Say your name, not me. Say your name. Look, we got folks fixing their hair. Well, I look like that. Okay. Look, tell yourself you're free to start fresh. Take a little video right now. Take a little video of yourself because I want you to remember this 3 months from now. All right? I want you to look back on this 6 months from now at the end of this year and tell yourself, call yourself by name. Do a video and tell yourself you're free to start fresh. Tell yourself that on video for yourself. Huh? What? The lighting isn't right, Keegan said. This is for your benefit. Tell yourself you're free to start fresh. Sometimes we gotta tell ourselves that. We gotta give ourselves the freedom. God gives us the freedom. Sometimes we gotta give ourselves the freedom. Sometimes we lock ourselves up like God's already said, you can go. These are the keys, you're free. And we like to lock ourselves up like, no, God, I need some, I'm not. Sometimes we gotta tell ourselves, you're free to start fresh. There's a reason why God created time and days. Time and days give us a chance to measure weeks and months and years. He's built this into the system of life. This is how we operate, right? So he's built into the system the opportunity to start again. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. They're new every morning. The scriptures say that though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. You see, God separated days for a reason. The first words in the Bible are in the beginning. Now, it wasn't the beginning for God. God's always been. He always will be. But it marked a new beginning for us, for our story. You know, I believe God wants 2023 to mark a new chapter in your story. A new chapter in your story. With the words, in the beginning. In the beginning of 2023, what's it going to say for you? In the beginning of 2023, I chose to forgive. I chose to be celibate. I chose to commit or recommit my life to following Jesus. In the beginning of 2023, I decided to not let fear hold me back anymore. You know, I decided that I wasn't going to let my job engulf me anymore. In 2023, I decided I'm not going to let my ex manipulate me anymore. Okay, can I get an amen? Yeah. We're going to talk today. In the beginning of 2023, that's when I started my journey toward financial freedom, toward stepping out on faith. In the beginning of 2023, what will it say for you? Man, I left behind the mundane and the mediocre and decided to accept God's invitation to the miraculous. I hope that's in all of our stories. You are free to start fresh. Now, this doesn't mean that bad things won't happen in 2023. I can't stand that. I'm looking online, it's like, nah, 2023 coming in like this. Every day comes in like, I've already had bad stuff happen in 2023. Bad stuff happened in 2020, really bad stuff. Bad stuff happened in 21. It happened in 22. It's going to happen in 23. It may have already happened for you too. That's not how we set our life up to win. That's not how Christians set our minds and our hearts up, right, for the new year. We know that's going to happen, but we got somebody who's greater on our side than the issues, than the problems, than the challenges. And so we look to God so that we can be excited, so that we can be free to start fresh. Let's give ourselves the freedom to start fresh. The resurrection, which happened on the first day of a new week, was a temporal landmark for the disciples. It was an opportunity for them to start fresh, right? They struggled. They all left Jesus. They abandoned him. They betrayed him. And yet, God gave them an opportunity to start fresh. So we're going to go ahead and dive into a couple of simple ways here that we're going to learn in from Luke 24, where we want to make sure that this fresh start doesn't fizzle out. Doesn't fizzle out, but it develops into a meaningful chapter in our story. That's what happened to the disciples here. They had a fresh start. Yes, it came with hardship, but ultimately it led to a movement. A movement that we benefit from today, but also that we get to be a part of and pass on to the next generation. So as Jazz shared, and he shared this passage in Luke 24, the story of these two disciples, Cleo and them. Cleo and his buddy, they were traveling back to Emmaus, leaving Jerusalem. They were going back home after the crucifixion. They saw Jesus, who they were hoping would be the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. They saw him die on the cross, like they saw it with their own eyes. Their hopes died along with Jesus. Their dreams died. Their aspirations died of what it was supposed to be like. And they're walking along and they're sad. It says, the scripture said they were sad, and Jesus comes up on them. He just shows up in their struggle, in their disappointment, in their disillusionment. And Jesus says, what y'all talking about? what y'all talking about? Have you not heard? Well, how do you not know? Everybody knows what's going on with Jesus. Everybody knows what he went through. This is what happened. And then he says, really, you know, he's like, tell me more, you know. And so they're telling them what happened. And then they say, but the sisters, see, they went to the tomb. They said he wasn't there. They said they saw an angel. Women were talking. And then the brothers, they went up there, and he went up there. He said he was gone, but I don't believe it. Like, they had already heard that it's a possibility that Jesus had resurrected, but they still chose not to believe. And so that's what we're going to pick up in verse 25. In verse 25, it says this. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people." Ooh. Is Jesus supposed to talk like that? Oh no, that's oh no, calling somebody foolish. I don't know if it was derogatory. I think it was just fact. Like, Jesus is speaking truth, like you're just being foolish right now. You speak the truth in love. You foolish. You here's the thing, here's why they were foolish. Catch this. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. That's Jesus. That's God. That's God. I love that. He just vanished. Psh, gone. Can you imagine that? You're just sitting there. First, you don't even know it's Jesus. You just think it's somebody. Thank God they were hospitable, right? Like, come on in. Imagine they let Jesus go, right? Come on in. They're hanging out. It's like, wow, there's Jesus. And poof, he's gone. God is magical, y'all. Like, miraculous. I love that. I'm not serving somebody like me. You know what I mean? I can't vanish. I don't know anybody can vanish. Like, for real. That's what Jesus did. Verse 32, then they said to each other, he leaves them alone. And they're just the two of them. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. All right, first point is this. Start fresh with scriptures. Start fresh with what? It says that they realized, like, man, was your heart on fire? Mine was. Jesus took time out to teach them the scriptures. It was the scriptures that burned within them. See, Jesus knew the only way for his disciples to go from foolish to faithful was through the word of God, through the scriptures. He literally used the scriptures to invite them into the miraculous. He says their hearts burned with that's passion. When's the last time you felt passionate? Maybe you have been feeling dull lately. Meditate on the scriptures. Maybe you've been compromising. Put the scriptures into practice. Maybe you've been heading in the wrong direction. Let the scriptures guide you back on the right path to your preferred destination. And it all starts with the word of God. So how often have we meditated on the scriptures? Let's look at the next question here. How many days out of the week do you meditate on scripture? And I'm not just talking about the verse of the day. That's not, unless you take that verse and then you spend some time meditating. I'm not talking about taking a notification. All right, that's not meditating. I'm talking about spending time in God's word, asking him, God, what do you want me to get from this? Writing it down in a journal or in our phones, writing it down, and then trying to put it into practice, right? That's what it means to take some time to meditate on the scriptures, okay? Let's see here. All right, we have some. See, I put these numbers here for a reason. Zero, hey, we're just not there yet. That's okay. Haven't started yet. It's a new year, new you, fresh start. Amen. 1 to 2 days, that's you know, below average. 3 to 4 is right there at average. You know, about every other day I'm spending time meditating. 5 to 6 is above average. And then 7, just overachievers. We got some overachievers in the house. You know what I mean? So let's see. All right, we got 27%, I believe, that says we haven't started yet. 34%, 1 to 2, 3 to 4. I appreciate y'all being honest here. We're about in the middle, 23%, okay. And then a very small percentage go 5 and beyond. That is good to know. You know, I think I'm in that 5 or 6 range. I know the pastor should be at, I know, I'm sorry. I know the pastor should be every day. But not every day do I get a chance to meditate. Sometimes, man, I get worried about the things to do that day. Sometimes I don't manage my time, right? Sometimes I don't get up early enough. So I would say, you know, I'm in that 5 or 6 range. Hopefully more 6 than 5. But I've been to 5. Then this is where we're at. It's a new morning. Mercies every day. Every day. Okay. So thank you. Thank you for responding. We have 104 people responding. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Let's look over in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. You know, one of our weaknesses is that we are quick to follow the advice of the wicked. We are so quick to follow YouTube advice that is not godly, Instagram advice. I mean, we're constantly looking at this stuff, and we're allowing it to come into our spirit, our mind, and our hearts, and it influences who we are and the decisions that we make. And the reason I say that is because we probably meditated more on social media than we have on the scriptures. Like meditating, right? I'm not just talking about getting a notification or checking our notifications. I'm talking about like what you do on social media, that's what God wants you to do in the scriptures. Scrolling through, looking at comments, you know what I mean? Sharing. You know, there's a thing called like the Bible app. Man, we just transferred those behaviors onto the Bible app, right? Right? We know what meditation is. We understand spending time in something, right? Thinking about it. Right? Because sometimes we get depressed because we're meditating on the wrong things. This is what he's talking about here. He's talking about, man, the joys of those who don't. Blessed are those who don't stand around with sinners or joining, who just hang around with. I'm not talking about ministering to them, joining in, right? Hanging out with. And then you wonder why things ain't working out. Wonder why 2022 was the way it was, why our lives aren't yielding the results we hope for, why we're not prospering. It's because that's for people who meditate and delight in the Word of God. Day in, day out. Those are the people who flourish, who bear fruit in every season, not withering or wasting away, but prospering in all that they do. That's what it means. That's what a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. You know, Jazz shared something with us in our little meeting before service from Jeremiah 17, a similar passage, and he talked about trees that bear fruit are healthy, and they get to help. They have something to give other people, right? So they have fruit to give other people. They have shade to give other people. Like, you don't go to the desert to try to get rejuvenated, right? And so it's healthy for us. Right? Because we bear fruit, but it helps us to give to others, to love others. If we're not withering away, if we're not wasting away, that means we have something to give to others. I want to encourage us, let's spend more time meditating on Scripture this year. Maybe you're just starting to do that. Some of us haven't started yet. We need to start. And don't settle. For those of you who are just starting, don't settle on one verse a day. Get into your Word. Spend time with God. Go beyond the bare minimum. Like, ask God to help you understand the Scriptures. We want to be there for you to help you understand and put the Scriptures into practice. You know, I started a Bible in the Year plan this year. A friend of mine invited me to join the plan, and at first I'm like, man, I don't got time for that. I've done it before. I've read the whole Bible before. Then I said, you know what? I need that. I need it. And I'm already feeling the effects of it. I feel more full. I feel more satisfied. I feel more energized. Right, just because I'm getting more of the Word in me. All right, so maybe that's something you want to do. Just give yourself a challenge to read through the Scriptures, through the whole Bible. Oh my gosh, the whole Bible. Yes, you can do it. Ain't that right, G? We could do it. We could do it. Whatever we put our mind to, we can do it. If we decide to set the time and the focus to do just that, there's nothing that's going to be more important for us to ingest into our spirit than the Word of God, so that we can go from foolish to faithful. We're going to be fasting as a church this year. We're going to be fasting. Every year at the beginning of the year, we fast. We do a 3-day fast as a church. What is a fast? A fast is when you give up food. That is a biblical fast, not to eat for a period of time. And so be thinking about how you want to spend your fast. If you are able to not eat, I want to encourage you to go without food. Now, you can also abstain. That's choosing to go without TV or social media or video games or, you know. But I want to encourage you to go without food. There's a reason why that is a spiritual discipline. Think about that. Man, do I want to, like for me, I do no food, only water. But start thinking and praying about, do I want to do, maybe I want to do smoothies. Maybe I want to do coffee. You know, for those coffee drinkers, that's probably the hardest part because that headache is real. You know, we're know, addiction is real. So I'm so man, be thinking about how you want to do, and then choose a time period. So for example, like I usually go the full three days. So we'll start on the evening of the 16th, Monday evening. So you'll have dinner maybe before the sun goes down. So it's usually sundown at Monday. That's, and then you go to Tuesday. That's one day. Tuesday to Wednesday is the second day. Wednesday to Thursday is the third day. Thursday evening, you can break your fast and eat dinner that night, right? But you can decide. Maybe if you haven't fasted before, you say, I'm going to fast for half a day for the 3 days. Maybe I'm going to fast for one full day. That's fine. Whatever you decide is between you and God. But this is something that we do together, get closer to God. And be thinking about what you want to do during that time. Like, it's a time to really thank God for what he's done, and a time to ask him for what we need. And we'll give you some things that we're going to be praying for as a church. This is a great opportunity to spend extended time in the Word. When Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so we're talking about, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, listen, this is something that I have had to ask myself. If I were to eat food as much as I read my Bible, what would I look like? What would I feel like? That's what you look like and feel like spiritually. We're not getting any nourishment. And so even Jesus understood that, right? So let's be praying about that, preparing our hearts and minds for that. And then I want to encourage you, don't just meditate on the word, share it with others. And I promise you, that's going to be something that's going to come natural. It's going to be an overflow. It's going to be a fruit of you ingesting the right things, the scriptures. And you're going to want to share those things with others. And I'm amazed because, man, I especially love sharing the scriptures with people that don't know the Bible, that aren't familiar with it. And I just, man, when you do that, I'm telling you, I just see like a light bulb go off. Like, sometimes that is what refreshes us more than even meditating, because we need to be reminded of what we were like when we first started reading the Bible. Like, we can take it for granted. And people that don't know it are like, that's in the Bible? My brother-in-law, he came to visit us, and he has started to go on this journey series and getting into the scriptures. And he's in Boston right now, but he was going to be in Atlanta. He said, can we have he set up his own Bible study with us. And me and Christina studied out the crucifixion with him in our living room. And we were talking, and he was just so amazed. I love Matthew. This is amazing. I can't believe that's it. Oh, live by the sword, die by the sword. That's in the Bible? You'll be surprised how many things you say that actually God said it first. You don't even know it's in the Bible. He's like, that's amazing. But his heart was so soft to the scriptures. He's like, this is so inspiring that Jesus went through this. And because he was learning it for the first time, we felt like we were learning it for the first time. Man, give yourself that opportunity to experience the Word of God through somebody else. And I'm seeing this more and more. There's more and more people that don't know anything about the Bible. But let me tell you something, man. If you spend time, your hearts will start to burn within. You'll get that passion back. And then even seeing others respond in that way will help as well. So what did these two disciples do when they felt their hearts burning? What did it inspire them to do? Let's go back to verse 32 through 34. It says, after that, they like, man, our hearts were burning. It says, within the hour, at that moment, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples who had gathered with them, and hey, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. So what did they do? They turned around. They packed up their bags. They got their toiletries set. Few other things for the trip. They didn't know when they were coming back home, because if Jesus really resurrected and that was really him, and they knew they had a mission to go on. So they turned around. They turned back to Jerusalem to find the disciples. Some of us, we may have been traveling in the wrong direction. Some of us even arrived to that destination, right? We got there, and we realized that it's not where I want to be. I thought I wanted to go back to Emmaus. It's not really where I want to be. Why? Because that guilt, that pain, that shame, that regret, that's still there in the world. Some of us, we decided to travel back, and we got there. We said, you know what? Maybe that's where we're at today. I'm trying to go back. I'm trying to turn around. The scriptures will help us to turn around. It's time to turn around. Pack your bags. Say, pack your bags. Get your toiletries. Head back to your Jerusalem. Yes, go back to your Jerusalem and to the people that God has placed in your life. You can help each other make it to heaven. That's my second point. Start fresh with fellowship. We can't do this alone. And we don't have to do this alone. That's why we chose the theme for this year, never alone. We don't have to settle for trying to do this on our own. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have each other. We have the church. Like, we're meant, this is meant to be a team sport. And that's a blessing. The truth is, the pandemic affected our relationships. I don't know about you, but there's some relationships that have never rebounded for me. Like, I lost touch. We didn't make it through the pandemic. And I'll be honest. Can I be honest for a second? About some of those relationships, I said, this is what I was saying. If we ain't making it through the pandemic, we ain't making it. If you didn't ride for me during the pandemic, then it is what it is. We lost touch. It is what it is. We weren't supposed to be together in the first place. We weren't supposed to have. Hey, it is what it is. I held on to my true friends. Held on to me, and I held on to them. And that's it. Now, as we have got out of this pandemic a little bit, I've realized that's a really hard stance to take. And so I'm trying to even think through the fact that the stuff, I don't even know what they were going through. I'm taking it personal. It may not have been personal. They were dealing with stuff too that maybe I just, it just didn't work out during that time. Like, they had to hold on to people that maybe were closer to them during that. And that's okay, right? And so there's some relationships maybe we've lost in a pandemic that need to stay lost. But then there's some relationships that maybe we need to bring back. Amen? Pray to God about that. Think about that. You know, and let God make that clear for us. Sometimes we stray away from the relationships that helped us to grow spiritually. For whatever reason, we go through different phases, we start to pull away, right? So-and-so, man, they helped us grow. They helped us get to this point. And for whatever reason, maybe we hurt each other's feelings, maybe just life situations, maybe we move, whatever it may be, we just stray away. Maybe it's time to return to those relationships. Maybe God put those people in our lives for a reason. And it's true. There's some people that are going to be in our lives forever, very few. And then there's going to be people in our lives for just phases of our life. And that's okay, too. That's okay, too. That's what Cleo and them did. Cleo said, you know what? One thing I respect about Cleo and his boy, at least they had each other. They were traveling together. At least it was two of them. But they decided, no, we need the larger group. We need to be with the body. You know, as we start this new year, we're taking a break from our small group gatherings. We're going to have midweek services all together starting this Wednesday here at 7:30. And we're going to have a great time together. Then we're going to be spending time, men and women separate, just to get some time to bond with each other. But as we take a break from those small group gatherings, I want to encourage you, don't take a break from fellowship. It's an opportunity to spend that time with some intentional fellowship. Invest in those relationships with other disciples and those who want to become disciples. As we kick our small groups back up, for some of us are going to stay in your small groups, and that's fine. We're going to be trying to set up the church in geographical mission groups, is what we're calling them. All right, so these are small groups with a mission. That's why we're meeting together, and in a specific part of town, because that's the feedback we've heard from you. During the pandemic, we went virtual. We've had gatherings online, and that's fine. But now people have moved. We're, you know, people in your small group may be living all across Atlanta. And, I mean, you could travel. I mean, y'all know how big Atlanta is. And so said, we heard you. And said, okay, let's be thinking and praying about who we want to build with around us, right, so that we can be on mission in our neighborhood, in our town, in our area, right? And so maybe we take this time to invest in relationships with our neighbors, disciples that live near us, work near us, or our actual neighbors, right, that are around that we haven't really gotten to get to know. But be praying about maybe you may want to partner with somebody else or with another couple to facilitate one of these mission groups in the future. Be praying about that, because it's going to be a great opportunity for us to get a restart and a relaunch with our small groups. You know, Jesus, he understood the power of fellowship. If you read through the scriptures, rarely do you see him spending time with people alone. He just doesn't. He spends time with groups. He had his 12. He had his 3. He had the 120. I mean, it was constantly in groups. And he showed up when they were in groups. Together is how these disciples ended up encountering Jesus. Together is how they were invited to start fresh. Together is how they responded to the invitation to the miraculous. You see, that's what happened after this. They went back and they went back and they hung out with the disciples and they said, you won't believe what happened to us. They told their story. Jesus showed up. We had dinner together. Then boom, he disappeared. I don't know where he is now, but we had to come tell you all. And then all of a sudden, they're all together. And then Jesus shows up again. Boom, just shows up. They're all scared, frightened, in awe, right? And they don't believe it. And Jesus is like, look at me. I'm real. It's real. Yes, I'm really here, right? And then he says, touch my hands. Touch it. Yes, the holes are still there. I'm here. They still didn't believe it. They said, can we have something? Y'all got something to eat? You know, that eating together, that always helps. You know, Jesus knew that. And so they did, right? And then Jesus was clear about the mission. Hey, this is your opportunity to start fresh. I have a mission for you. You have a movement that's happening. And it was up to them to take advantage of it. And they did. And we're going to look at this last passage next week. There's so many good lessons in this as well. But then they went to Bethany and Jesus just rose up to heaven. And the disciples, you know what they did? They went back to Jerusalem. They worshiped God every day in the temple, waiting on the Holy Spirit to fall on them so they can start preaching the word and be about their mission. It's a beautiful thing. They encountered Jesus together, and they stayed together on the purpose that God had called them to. I hope we can do the same. I hope this year we can start fresh with the scriptures, and we can start fresh some good fellowship. This is a great opportunity to get some great fellowship. Once we're done, we're not the leave out the front door as soon as we're done type of church. All right? There's a lot of places you can do that at. It's really hard to do that here. You got to be sitting back there. You got to really go. I'm talking about go. And most of the time, whoever preaches is back there waiting on you. All right? Yes. Saying hello. Just there to shake your hand and bless you. But we'd love to just build relationship with you and make sure that nobody ever feels like they got to go through life alone, that you have somebody to do this with. So this time we're going to take communion together. And let's just be thanking God for what Jesus went through. Let's be thanking him for his church that we can take communion together. And let's be thinking about the areas where we want to ask God to help us to have a fresh start. Amen. If you do not have a communion packet, go ahead and raise your hand. Our host team is coming around now to give that to you. And we're going to pray. Then after that, what we're going to do is we're going to take the cracker. It represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. We'll eat that, and then we'll go ahead and drink the juice as well that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for us. Then we'll just spend a little bit of time in reflection. about whatever God revealed in our hearts today. All right. If you still need a communion packet, keep your hand raised. They'll come around for you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for life. Thank you for an opportunity to have a relationship with you. And thank you that you built into life these opportunities to start fresh. Father, I pray that we will give ourselves the freedom to start fresh in whatever area of life that you have impressed upon us today. Make that clear to us. And we just ask for your help. God, we ask for your forgiveness for the ways we don't prioritize our relationship with you, God. For the ways we allow the worries of this life, the pleasures of this life, the busyness of this life, just choke out our faith. I pray, God, that this year will be different. I pray that we can get a fresh start by being committed to being in your word, meditating on your scriptures. And I pray that as we do that, God, that we will have a revival within our own hearts, within our own spirits, within our own souls, God. And I pray that we can really rely on each other and be there for each other to continue to grow and help each other make it to heaven. Whatever we may have in our hearts, any bitterness, any conflict that's unresolved, anything that we just need to talk about with somebody else, God, I just pray that we just get it done so that we can truly be united in our relationships and be united as a church. We thank you for Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. We celebrate that right now. And we know that it's because of his death that we can have the opportunity to start fresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at The Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join The Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.